online, on DAB, on Fairview, and on UPC. Channel 943. This is
RTE Pulse. RTE Pulse.
The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.
You're listening to The Cosmo with myself, Scott the Butler, here on RTE Pulse. Now, we are all celebrating the fantastic news that Scotland has recently introduced marriage equality with a fantastic 105 votes to 18 in the Scottish Parliament. To find out a bit more about the reaction to what is taking place in Scotland amongst their LGBT community, but also what the campaign has been, I have Tim Hopkins, the director of the Equality Network in Edinburgh, on the phone at the moment. Tim, you're very welcome along to the show.
Hi, thanks very much.
So tell me about what the road has been like up until this moment when it was a fantastic and in some ways historic vote towards marriage equality in Scotland.
Yeah, it is really historic. I mean, the long answer to that is it's been 45 years of campaigning since the first gay rights group was set up in Scotland in 1969, when, of course, as in Ireland then, sex between men was completely criminal. And there's been a series of changes, but it's really taken off over the last 15 years. Most of the changes have happened in the last 15 years. And this was the last piece of major discrimination on grounds of sexual orientation in the law of Scotland. This thing we've been working on for about 5 years since we finished achieving all of the other changes, and it's been in the Scottish Parliament, or at least under consultation by the Scottish Government, for about 2.5 years. So it's been a very long process, very hard work, but it's been a really good process. Scotland's democracy is very consultative and deliberative, and we've ended up with a really good bill as a result.
Tim, what was the struggle like? You said that you know, in some ways it's really been going on for 15 years, but obviously a hell of a lot more than that, similar to Ireland, I guess. But in a political level, I know, you know, in an Irish context, every political party in Ireland is actually, in theory at least, for marriage equality. Was it a similar situation in Scotland?
It was not dissimilar. When we went into the last election, which was in 2011, four of the five major parties had manifesto commitments on equal marriage. The only one that didn't was the Conservatives, who currently are split pretty much down the middle. Now, in England and Wales, it was actually a Conservative-led government which introduced equal marriage. In Scotland, the Conservatives are in a small minority. They have been for a long time. So at the vote last night, the 18 votes against, 8 of those were Conservatives, and that's about half of the Conservative MSPs. But all of the other parties, there was an overwhelming vote in favour, and all of the five party leaders, including the Conservative leader in Scotland, were in favour. In fact, the Conservative leader in Scotland is our first openly lesbian politician in Scotland.
Wow, right, okay, so it really is a historic moment that's been taking place. In terms of the Equality Network, obviously the Equality Network has been working very, very hard for the rights of LGBT people in Scotland. What was the reaction like when you heard the news?
Well, we're still recovering from the celebrations. So that probably sound a bit rough. It's been fantastic. I mean, Twitter, the response on Twitter has been overwhelming. I've never seen so much. And a lot of it from within Scotland, but also comments from all around the world. But I think it's the reason it's had so much impact on people is that people really, once the bill passed, people really started to feel for the first time that as lesbian, gay and bisexual people, we are now fully respected as equal citizens in Scotland, and that's the first time it's felt like that. I said LGB rather than LGBT because there's still quite a lot of work to do in Scotland to get equal treatment and fair treatment under the law for trans people.
Right, okay. And in terms of that, in that case, is that going to be the next step? Is that the final hurdle, really?
Yeah, I mean, for us, in terms of legislative equality, trans equality and intersex equality are the things still left to do. I imagine that's going to be at least another 5-year campaign. Wow. So that's what we're going to be focused on next. In terms of legal equality, of course, the other side of the whole coin is that legal equality is just one thing, and getting equality in terms of eliminating prejudice and discrimination is something else altogether. There's still a lot of work to do on that.
And just on a final note, I guess, what is the social situation like in Scotland towards at least LGB people?
There's been a huge change. 25 years ago, 75% of people in Britain thought that homosexuality was wrong. Most people thought they didn't know anybody who was LGBT. Now that has completely turned around, at least in the case of LGB people. Most people in Scotland know friends and family who are openly lesbian, gay and bisexual, and attitudes have completely turned around. So two-thirds of Scotland supports equal marriage, and it's at least three-quarters for people under the age of 40. Not so good yet for trans people, but it's getting better.
Right, okay, well listen, it is fantastic news either way, and as you said, we will have some more work to be doing over the next 5 years, but for now, I think it's time for a bit of a celebration. But in the meantime, Tim Hopkins, Director of the Equality Network in Edinburgh, thank you so much for coming onto the show tonight.
Thanks very much indeed, thanks.
RTE Pulse.
The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.
You're listening to The Cosmo with myself, Scott the Butler, here on RTE Pulse. Now, earlier on the show, we were listening to the reactions of the Scottish in terms of the news of marriage equality. It is now in England, Wales and Scotland. But what does that mean for Northern Ireland? On the phone with me at the moment to discuss it is John McAllister, an MLA for South Down, who is from NI21, the newest political party in Northern Ireland. I'm delighted to have him on the phone at the moment. John, you're very welcome along to the show.
Thank you very much, Scott.
So this situation does leave Northern Ireland in a bit of a strange situation, because it is now, of the four countries of the UK, it is now the only one left not to have marriage equality. Is there a logical reason behind why it's been so slow of a process in the North?
The reason that I suppose we've ended up, I mean, to be fair probably to the Northern Ireland Assembly, the twice that it's been debated and voted on, it was probably a tighter vote than many had initially predicted. I think there was a gap of five each time on it. Now, the DUP do use what we call a petition of concern, which effectively is a blocking veto, if you like. It triggers a cross-community vote, even something that actually should just be left as a simple majority. But so there's hope from that end of the perspective that I think people are starting to break down some of the myths about this that it means different things. You know, the main thing I think to get across to people is that marriage equality is about the state offering to marry. Marriage equality is not about imposing it on churches. It's not about saying who churches should or shouldn't marry or interfere in that. So the old line about the freedom of religion and also the freedom from religion, I think that separation of effectively of church and state is important. Your point, Scott, about England, Scotland, Wales have this, Northern Ireland will be in its own. Looking at that developments down in the Republic, and you are likely to be moving, if not in this current Dáil, certainly in the near future to changing the law there. We could very soon not only be the part of the UK not to have it, we could be the part of these islands not to have it, we could also be the part of Western Europe not to have marriage equality. So it's probably, we're getting, I think every month and year that goes past, we will get increasingly out of kilter with the rest of our European colleagues.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that, because I was looking at a map of the European countries that now do have marriage equality, and it almost looks like a band that goes through the middle of Europe, and the only island now that doesn't have it is Ireland, whereas Britain has it, you know, Scandinavia has it, France, etc. So it was actually strange to see, so it's interesting that you say that. But John, you know, because you're part of NI21, it's, as I said earlier, the newest political party, it is pro-union, so from what we've seen, at least from, I guess, kind of the regular voters or even, you know, people outside Northern Ireland that have been looking at the news, they're seeing that, you know, the likes of Sinn Féin, the SDLP, well, there's a few people within the Alliance Party that are pro-marriage equality. And then they're seeing the biggest naysayers coming from the DUP and the UUP. So they're obviously the ones, as well as yourselves, I guess, representing the unionist community. Are you seeing a similar type of reaction from the constituents, or is this an argument that is purely political?
I think it's an argument that's purely political. I actually, if I was talking about it just in a constituency or in a voter, or I see the gap much less between unionism and nationalism.
Yeah.
Or I'd accept your point in assembly terms. But actually, if you were talking to the population at large, I think there's a much more, the divide is actually generational. You know, say those above the age of 45, 50 have quite fixed views on it, and those below that age group, even people below that age group who are very involved in religion or faith's important to them, are very relaxed about the state offering equality or marriage equality, or indeed seem to be much more willing to engage with the LTGB community on different issues. And I think that's where I would see in the wider population the divide is pretty well down to age and generation. In the assembly there has been that sort of unionist nationalist split, if you like, in that Sinn Féin take a very basic view on equality. The LP have had probably difficult holding the lines, as with some very some of the more very conservative members not overly keen on voting for it, so they haven't held a completely tight line. Or I think you would have had a majority, certainly if SDLP and Alliance had held a tight line on it, you would have had
there might have been a different result.
You would have a different result.
Yeah.
The UUP now do offer a free vote on it, but Michael Copeland, I think, is the only one, and possibly Danny Kinahan did vote once for it, and I think the next time against it. But the DUP is your biggest bloc, just from the history of how it came about, is still. You only look at the debate, I suppose, over the play in Newton Abbey to look at and see where they're coming from on that. And that's why I don't see a lot of movement on this until the numbers of the DUP come back a bit, until the rules around petitions of concern would change. And that would open up the possibility of having a split assembly vote round legislation. Do we do this? Do we not? I mean, traditionally, Ireland, down south, is viewed as a pretty conservative
type of society.
And society.
Yeah.
And if you look at the changes you've had societally over the last 20 years.
Yeah, true.
And even the very fact that, was it that your constitutional convention, when they talked about marriage equality, went through with a pretty overwhelming majority.
Yeah, that's very true, right?
And you look at, now I'm still sure there's still some way to go and still some debate, and maybe even government nervous about enacting the legislation, but you look at that, and I suspect even down south that the gap is the same as here, it's very much generational.
Yeah, it's an interesting point that you make, right? And I think that probably was true of both north and south of Ireland, but I'd say also in Britain as well. John, just to finish up, you mentioned earlier that there was only just a few votes that made a difference in the last debate on this instalment. Do you think it's really just a matter of time?
I suspect it is, and I think, I don't see it happening in this assembly mandate, but I do think, I'd be surprised if I was talking to you 10 years from now and it was an issue. I think even the usefulness of having the debate in the assembly the last couple of times is that it has at least got people talking, it has at least got them questioning, well, from a church or faith perspective, how do you protect our rights? How does the state want to do this? And how, actually how it worked out for us in the only part of the UK now not to have it. It questions some of the other issues about couples who are married in England or Scotland or Wales moving across to Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
All of those issues, it challenges some of that. I think actually the mood and public opinion is at the stage of just saying, from a state perspective, this isn't the big issue that we've made it out to be. Let's just get on and offer people marriage equality. People love each other and want to make that commitment. Mm. What business is it of ours? The state should facilitate that and should welcome it.
Excellent. Well, listen, look, on that note, we will leave it there. John McAllister of NI21, thank you very, very much for taking the time to talk to us tonight.
Thank you.